It's a very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Hello there, good morning. Coming up between now and 10 a.m, we'll be chatting to members of the Ireland Homeless World Cup team.
I usually stop cursing or I'll be sacked.
I'm going to have to do some edits for the show on the Sunday morning. Brendan Dawson will tell us about his return to a football pitch after beating cancer.
All my mates are at Airfield, so it was a great day. Like, there was a lot of family there, emotional for a lot of them. But for me, it was just a game of ball, and it was just a delight to be back trying to play football. You know, it was brilliant.
98FM's League of Ireland Sunday will check in with Bohemians after they qualified for next season's Europa League. And then it's all about Ireland's exit from the Rugby World Cup on an emotional final day in green for the coach Joe Schmidt and the captain Rory Best.
It's been a privilege for me.
I'd like to just finish by just thanking absolutely everyone that's helped me along the way.
We'll be joined by more Ireland players as well, and Shane Byrne too. So let's waste no time and get into That's What I Call Sport underway this Sunday.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
You're on there. That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. It's Jamie Moore here at Richmond Park on Friday night after St. Pat's and Bohemians in the League of Ireland. And the Irish Homeless Street League team presented with their trophy from the World Cup. It's here beside me and it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm here with Sean Kavanagh and a couple of players. Sean, firstly, just introduce yourself. Explain to us what you do and what the lads did there a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, certainly in the Homeless World Cup.
Well, I'm the founder of the Homeless World Cup. We entered the team into the finals there in Cardiff there 5 weeks ago. And we had some fantastic performances. We reached the final of the Glenmire Cup, and it was a nerve-wracking final. We won 6-5 in the end, but it's a tremendous tournament.
And just explain to us the idea of the tournament, where it first came from, how the team qualified and how the players qualified to play for the team.
Well, all the players will participate in our Homeless Street Leagues, which we have running throughout Dublin. And we have our Homeless Street Finals in April. And from them finals, we pick a panel of players from which the team that's selected to represent Ireland is chosen. To get chosen, you really have to commit yourself. You'd be training 3 or 4 times a week. The pace of the game is tremendous. As I say, the skill level is tremendous.
With two of the players here, lads, what's your names?
Dean Fitzpatrick.
Lara Bryan.
So, Dean, if I start with you, Sean spoke very well there about the competition and what it was actually like. Explain to me from the point of view of a player how you found this, how you, I suppose, when you first discovered what the street leagues were in Dublin, from going to that to playing for your country in a World Cup.
Yeah, for me, I got chosen, it was in Kilmarnock, I got chosen to play football. It was actually, when the trials was on, I was doing a sailing course. There was a few weeks later, then I got chosen, like, I went down to go for the trial, and done the trial, and got picked, and put all my efforts into it. Like, when I finally got there, to actually go over there, to get number 6, I got number 6 in the jersey. So we went to a Rogenstown hotel before it, and they didn't tell us about this, so we went in, opened the hotel room, there's our jerseys, and number 5 and number 6, like, playing number 6 all my life. And seeing that, I was like, Jesus, this really kicked in, like, that actually representing our country. So every match I played, I made sure I put 100% in, win, lose, or draw. Like, but just for what it's at the deal for me, my confidence, it's at the boost of my confidence. Just the meeting with the lads, like, you go over there, you don't drink, you don't do anything. It was just, from where I was coming from, there was just an idea for me to go straight from out of the place I was in to go over there and just come back. Like, just even to be here tonight at the match, looking at my friend who plays football, I was like, to be able to talk to him and just great, yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, where you've come from to where you are now. Could you explain to us the story as to, you know, how you got involved with the Homeless Street Leagues and the circumstances that led you to be homeless and eventually led you to be able to play in this competition?
It was not that I'm homeless. It was just things happened in my life and just couldn't control them anymore. It was just went to Kilmarnock, which is the treatment centre. Like, I went in there. And while I was in there, I got picked to play in the World Cup. So this time last year, like, there where I am in my life, full time job, playing football most days. Like, if I'm not playing football, I'm training and playing football. It's just had to give me everything back in my life, and even family, like, to look at you differently now, like, you know what I mean?
And Lara, for you, the experience of the Homeless World Cup, what sort of words would you use to describe how you found it yourself?
Yeah, it was a very proud moment, you know what I mean, playing for Ireland, getting an Ireland cap, and it's given me a great joy to move forward. Like, this time last year I was locked up, like, I was in prison, you know what I mean, and same thing, I went to Kilmarnock when I got caught. Left prison, I went to Kilmarnock. I went straight up to Pier Street, that's where they do the street leagues, you know what I mean? Just getting picked for that, knowing that this time last year I was locked up, like, you know what I mean? I've been locked up for a good 8 years of my life, you know what I mean? And going into Kill Mine, coming out. I'm going to college now and all. And this has given me the drive to actually push. To know there's something better out there, do you know what I mean? It really has. It's like, over there, the experience over there, meeting all the other people from all the other countries, you know, and the camaraderie that went on over there between all the different teams. It was amazing, like, do you know what I mean? I know coming back, there was a little bit of a down, do you know what I mean? Because you're so excited over there and it's all go, go, go when you come back, and it's just normal when you come back, do you know what I mean? But then it settles down after a week or two, and it's just appreciating the things that you have now then, do you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I'm getting an Ireland cap for this, so coming up here. We're going up to Belfast in December to play a Five Nations 11 aside for it. I never got the opportunity to work like that in my life, do you know what I mean? I was too caught up in drugs and whatever else, criminality, like, do you know what I mean?
So if someone had told you this time last year when you were locked up that you'd be sitting in Richmond Park with an Ireland tracksuit on, having played in the World Cup with an Ireland jersey on, with a trophy and a medal and all the experiences, what would you have thought then when you were still in prison and you were kind of wondering maybe what would happen when you got out?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that was nothing that would have been on the radar anyways, you know what I mean? I was kind of thinking, I'll stay clean, I'll do this, I'll do that, you know, but I've thought that before when I was getting out of prison. This time it's a bit different, you know? But yeah, I never thought like this would be happening, do you know what I mean? I heard about the homeless woke up before, but never thought, you know what I mean? Never thought we'd be participating in anything like that, you know what I mean? And here we am, after winning the trophy, getting presented with a medal today as well, with the City Council, like, do you know what I mean? And it's just my family are so proud of me, do you know what I mean? They all watched all the matches on YouTube and everything else, and it's an amazing feeling. Like, it just drives you moving forward. It gives you more inspiration to do well.
And Dean, like, you know, football is very important to different people for, you know, lots of reasons, whether they be kids playing for enjoyment, whether they be people out there playing tonight in the likes of Boast qualifying for Europe or Pats qualifying for Europe. Football for you has been something amazing as well, given you've had this trophy and you've spoken about how it turned your life around. And it's amazing that the game that we all love for so many different reasons can be so great to people for different reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I love, is the homeless woke up to be here in Ireland. Yeah, definitely. It deserves more credit, like Sean and all his backing team, everyone else that does, that's part of it. Like, they need a lot more backing, because what's going on in Ireland, what I can really see was, I come out of them now looking back, I'd say there's a big problem in Ireland with drugs and stuff like that, but bringing people in to play football and giving that opportunity, you're basically like a superstar over there. So if you give them that opportunity, it really does kick something back up in you. It just really does. No one else has done that for me, you know what I mean? But this has, and it's like Lara said, when you come back and it slows down, when it does slow down, it's starting to build up again. Look what we're doing here now. Am I going to go? Am I going to win that Five Nations Cup? Well, no, okay, I'm not coming back without that. And we need more back, and like someone from like Colin Farrell. So Colin Farrell, if you're out there listening, get onto the street leagues, give them a hand now. All they need is one little door to open, and all the rest will open themselves. Yeah?
And Lara, I'm sure you want to, you know, echo those sentiments of football in your life. You've spoken about what happened and, you know, the 8 years of your life in prison. And now football is so important to you, and it's you know, since you got out, played a massive part in your life.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a big inspiration. Like, I mean, people out there, like, they're on drugs, caught in criminality and all, a lot of them do like playing football. They just don't see that there's anything in it for them, do you know what I mean? Because they don't have any appreciation of what's going on around them, do you know what I mean? And I think, like, if they got into something like this, it shows them what's available, what's there, the drive that it can give you, like, it just makes you so feel good about yourself inside, because a lot of people don't have that, do you know what I mean? When you go over there, or even just getting involved in here, I still go to the street leagues since I came back and all, do you know what I mean? And it's just getting involved, like, I love football, I always did, do you know what I mean? I'm born and bred to play football, like, I'm dying now. I'm a bit over the hill now, but you know, like, it just gives you that drive. It's an incentive to do something better. Do you know, people out there don't see anything better to do. It's like, do drugs, do get involved in criminality, that's all they say. But if you do something like this and it gets support and it becomes a bigger thing in Ireland, I'm sure, like, youngsters out there will be getting involved in it. Do you know, and it'll just drive them to do so. They'll see a different future. Because at the moment, in a lot of the places in Ireland, there's no real future to see. Just gangs just driving around in cars, or drug dealers selling drugs. And, do you know what I mean? It just gives them something else to see and do.
Now, you stop cursing or I'll be sacked. I'm going to have to do some edits for the show on the Sunday morning. You were cursing too, Dean. There was one.
You can take everything else away from us and all, but still, our personal edits never change.
Of course. I'm only joking. Sean, the lads have explained, you know, their backgrounds as to how they got involved. They mentioned prison and drink and drugs and other things. What would you say to someone listening now who, you know, maybe has had issues in their life, those type of issues, and are wondering, they want a purpose, they want something, you know, for exercise. And we hear how important exercise is for mental health and that sort of stuff as well. And you know, anybody listening who might want to get involved and become what the lads have become and, you know, play for their country, but also the focus and the friendships and everything else that it gives them.
Yeah, well, it's not all just about sport. It's about building your potential, building your self-confidence, self-esteem. And that all comes from participating in team sport. And if anyone's interested, they can come down to our street league in Pier Street. They can get, you'll give the number afterwards, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And they can get in touch with it and we can take it from there. But it's when you get involved, as the lad said, you build up friendships, with friendships for lives. It also spreads a network. You have that network you can fall back on. But and the bottom line is, it gives you the momentum to fulfill your own potential, and that's what the street league is all about. It's getting lads into a position where they have confidence in themselves, and that they can move on in life and take advantage of the opportunities that are out there.
Great stuff. For Sean, Laren, Dean, thanks a million for your time. The best luck in the Five Nations. Bring home the trophy. We'll chat again. Thanks, lads.
Thanks.
Yeah, you can see a photo of myself and Dean and Lar with the Glyndor trophy on at 98FM on Twitter. And if you want to follow the Irish Street Leagues on Twitter or Facebook, it's at Irish Street League, IRISHST League. They're also on email, info@irishstreetleague.com. You can contact Sean Kavanagh himself on 087-223-8108. That's 087-223-8108. And great work that the lads are doing there down on Pier Street. Now, still to come, 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday with Bohemians captain Derek Pender on their qualification for the Europa League. Brendan Dawson will tell us about his return to a football pitch after getting the all clear from cancer. And of course, the Rugby World Cup will be on our agenda as well. We're back in a sec.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Very happy to welcome Nathan Whelan back to the studio again. Nathan, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Now, I'm nominating you for 98FM Employee of the Month.
Why, thank you, sir.
So Nathan was away in Croatia for the week with his missus. He left last Sunday afternoon, so he didn't miss last Sunday's show. And he landed in Dublin Airport at like 3 a.m. this morning and was in here at 6:30 prepping. Now That's What I Call Sport. Great stuff. You're Employee of the Month in my eyes anyway.
That's all that matters to me, Jay, is what you think is what matters to me.
Did you have a good holiday?
I really did. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm very jealous. You look a bit bronzed there. And
it's the fake tan, but underneath it, it's a solid base of red.
Yeah, Nathan has been known to use his girlfriend's fake tan in the past and now she knows. Now, tell me about the three big changes in the GAA, Nathan, including a new two-tier championship.
Yes, the three-year trial period will begin next year after the Central Council motion was passed at a special Congress in Cork yesterday. This means that counties competing in Division 3 and 4 of the Alliance League will not contest the Sam Maguire unless they reach their respective provincial final. The bottom 16 teams will instead play in an as-yet-unnamed second-tier competition. The motion needed 60% majority to pass and received 75.5%, so Tier 2 will be determined on the league positions at the end of next year's Allianz League. Meanwhile, an advanced mark has been given the green light also. 68.9% of the delegates voting in favour of that. This will reward players who take a mark or clean possession inside the opposition's 45 from a pass that travels 20 metres or more with a free kick. And thirdly, a sin bin proposal was passed comfortably with a 73.8% support behind it. A player will spend 10 minutes off the field with no substitute allowed, reducing his size numbers for that period. A second black card or a black card following a yellow will result in a red card and expulsion from the game rather than a sin bin. A lot of changes for the game, but let's hope it's all for the better.
Yes, the Rugby World Cup quarterfinals ongoing. Wales 10, France 19, 2 minutes into the second half there in Japan. And Michael Checa has stepped down as the head coach of Australia. That's breaking news in the last couple of minutes. Nathan, it's currently 33 degrees Celsius in Abu Dhabi, where the Irish cricket team have been in action.
Yes, and it's been mixed fortunes for them. They compete in the T20 World Cup qualifiers in Abu Dhabi, as you mentioned. They got off to a great start. They beat Hong Kong by 8 wickets as they finished with 155 for 2. However, they lost to the hosts yesterday as the United Arab Emirates won by 5 wickets, finishing with 129 for 5. Ireland next face Oman tomorrow at 11:10 a.m. Irish time.
Now, I just got a Snapchat video from a friend of mine, Nathan. I bet you it's us on the radio. I'm going to click play and see what it is.
You hope it is now.
Yeah, it's us on the radio. Look.
Hire it
here
up.
We are.
Nathan was away in Croatia for the week with his missus. He left.
See, look at that. We're on the Snapchat and we're on the radio. Thanks to Niall Corbett for that.
We're famous.
Yeah. He listened to us and he thinks the show is great. Well, he didn't. He actually said, shut up, lads.
I'm sure he said that, yeah.
League of Ireland on 98FM. The best place on the radio for the SSE Airtricity League.
Now, Bohemians goalkeeper James Talbot made one of the best saves I've ever seen live on Friday night to secure Europa League football at least. And €240,000 for Bohemians. That save was from a Chris Forrester shot. Had that shot went in, it probably would have been the goal of the season, but it didn't. Nathan, some save.
Unbelievable. And he just further reiterates his place as one of the best keepers in the league with that.
Yeah, the game ended 0-0 to get Bowes the point they needed to secure a top four spot and a return to Europe for the first time in a number of years. And their captain, Derek Pender, was a very happy man. He chatted to Oisín Langan after celebrating with the Bowes fans on the pitch at Richmond Park.
Derek, what's the feeling after Bowes have sealed their spot in the Europa League?
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable achievement. Great feeling to get it done. You know, we can go now and enjoy the next week and enjoy the Sligo game next week.
It was a tense night. You lived on the edge at times, but you got the job done, and that kind of sums up your season, really, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. Like, we're, you know, a rigid group. You know, we're a determined group, great group of young lads in there that want to do well for themselves. And you know, we didn't play well tonight. It wasn't pretty, but we got the result we wanted.
And the scenes tonight, I mean, your supporters packed out the away end. It was like you won a cup final. It must have been kind of magic to be part of that. It must have been great to be part of those celebrations.
Yeah, them lads have done them, but they, you know, they've been brilliant to us. Followed us everywhere, you know. They've come through tough times since I've been at the club. You know, it wasn't pretty at the start when I started off at this club, and look, we've turned it around now. It's been an unbelievable journey.
Does that just go to show what you can do in the League of Ireland, even if you don't have a massive budget?
Yes, I think so. You know, it's sustainability, really. You know what I mean? And that's what our club are trying to do at the minute. Like, we get, you know, obviously we put pressure on ourselves, but the supporters back us even when we're having our little dips, because they understand the young lads are there, and we're not on massive money. There's no big time Charlies, as they say, in our dressing room, and we work hard for each other, and we got the results and the rewards this year.
Yeah, the Bowes captain, Derek Pender, Bohemians in Europe. And it looks like they'll be joined by Derry City after they beat Sligo Rovers 2-1 last night. It means that Bowes are on 57 points, Derry on 54, and St. Pat's back on 49. Pats have two games left, including a crucial game against Derry on Tuesday night. So it looks as if Bowes and Derry will take the final two European places. A big win for Neil Fenn's Cork City. They beat the champions Dundalk 1-0 at Turner's Cross on Friday. Elsewhere, UCD were officially relegated, beaten 3-0 by Shamrock Rovers. And Finn Harps will contest the relegation promotion playoff. They had a good win though, 1-0 against Waterford FC. And that playoff between Cabinteely and Drogheda, the first leg finished 1-1 on Friday. Kieran Marty Waters gave Cabo the lead before Jake Hyland, the Drogheda captain, equalised with 11 minutes left. That second leg will take place in United Park on Drogheda this coming Friday. And a shout out as well to referee Paul Chute, who refereed his last ever League of Ireland game in Sligo last night. For me, he's the best League of Ireland ref in recent years. He actually understands football, talks to the players, isn't arrogant, and, you know, had a really, really good League of Ireland career, so he'll be massively missed in the League of Ireland as well. But the best of luck to Paul in his retirement from the League of Ireland. And Paul will join us on our League of Ireland podcast, which will be available on 98fm.com later on this afternoon.
It's the greatest league in the world, League of Ireland on 98fm.
Now, you'll remember earlier in the year I was joined in studio for an emotional interview by a Dublin man called Brendan Dawson, a player for Airfield United, need to stop playing and put his whole life on hold to fight cancer. That interview was in early July, and just over 3 months later, he returned to the pitch yesterday. And we said at the time we'd do a follow-up, and he joins me on the line now from Manchester Airport, headed going to watch United Liverpool with his family. Brendan, good morning. How are you?
Jamie, how are you? Good to speak to you again.
Now, before I hang up on you, Brendan, are you a Liverpool man or a United man?
I'm a Shamrock Rovers man, but unfortunately I'm at this today because I have my daughter Faith over me. She's 8 years old. She's a Man United fanatic, thanks to our Uncle Keith. So it could be the day, I think, where we go over and watch Solskjaer get sacked if we get a hiding here today, you know?
Yes, well, I'm a Liverpool fan. I'm meeting the lads to watch the game. So, yes, I won't hang up on you because it's your daughter that's a Man United fan, Brendan, not yourself, luckily.
Definitely, definitely. I couldn't put myself through that misery. Supporting Shamrock Rovers is hard enough without being a United fan, you know?
Yeah, now, if you go onto Twitter, at We Are Airfield, we've just retweeted a picture of Brendan back on the pitch yesterday for Airfield United. And, Brendan, before we speak about the return, you might just give us a brief reminder of the story you told us in July.
Yeah, not a bother, Jamie. 3 years ago, I found a cyst on my testicle. I went to get it checked and I was told I had nothing to worry about, that it was just a cyst. Unfortunately, my mother got sick this time last year. I'd done a follow-up check and wasn't happy. Went into the doctor where I was immediately brought for surgery. When I came up from surgery, I was told I had a testicle removed, that I was one of the lucky ones, that the cancer was fully enclosed and that I could get on with my life, and I'd have to do checkups for the next 2 or 3 years. My 6 month checkup came there in May, and I was told immediately that I'd have to start 3 bouts of chemotherapy, which was a 3-cycle term. During the treatment, I ran into complications where clots formed on the brain, and I nearly passed away. But thanks to the people in Beaumont and Professor Grogan, they got everything on track, changed around the treatment, and I went from 3 term cycle of chemotherapy to a four cycle, and I finished there now 5 weeks ago, and 2 weeks ago there I was told again for the second time that I now have the all clear.
Fantastic. So you've been through the chemo, you've been through the operations, you've been through the emotions of all of it, and to be told that you have the all clear, what was that feeling like?
Yeah, look, it's fantastic. It's more a relief for my family, my wife in particular, and the kids. But for me, I don't mean to be anyway negative, because I'm not negative at all, but I'll deal with it, because they told me the last time, look, you've got the all clear, you've nothing at all to worry about. So this time, I'm delighted with the news, but I'm sort of in the back of my head, I'm just like, we'll just draw a line under this and take each day as it comes from now on. Like, they've said to me that the next 3 to 6 months are the most important to see if any cells reform as well. But they've also told me that with the treatment that I've got, 19 out of 20 people will never have any side effects again. So I'm hoping this time around that I'm definitely one of them 19 people, you know.
Of course, and Airfield yesterday tweeted, it's great to see at DOS05 back in an Airfield jersey, Brennan. You're there in your pink and black striped jersey in action. How did it feel to be back on the pitch?
Ah, look, it's absolutely fantastic. It's something I had to do mentally. I was told not to go back playing football until contact football or any sort of sport till December. But once I got the all clear, and it was just a case of, look, taking it easy. And to be honest, the lads there at Airfield have been absolutely amazing. I'm actually up with the second team, and there's a new management team in there at the moment, Gary Deegan, Phil Cox, Joe and Dave McMahon. And they took me under their arm and allowed me to train, looked after me, and I basically started to crawl, walk. And then as of yesterday, it was my first game back. I wouldn't say I was much good, but just to get back out onto the pitch and play competitive football, put a tackle, put a header in, there's no feeling in the world that can describe that. And I'm sure any footballer that's listening, or anyone that plays football, whether it's professional to a game of ball with your mates on a Saturday or a Sunday, that feeling of going across the white line, nothing replaces it, you know. So it was fantastic to be back on the pitch yesterday, and especially with my friends. All my mates are at Airfield, so it was a great day. Like, and there was a lot of family there, emotional for a lot of them, but for me it was just a game of ball, and it was just a delight to be back trying to play football, you know. It was brilliant.
Yeah, that game against Fairview CY, I think a 3-2 defeat in the end. And I'm sure the opposition, Bren, even though most of them probably knew or were aware of your story, they certainly weren't going easy or showing you any sympathy, which shows, you know, how far you've come in your recovery and your treatment, that you're back on the pitch in a competitive game where fellas are trying to smash you.
Oh, it's one of them things, you're always saying, just give us an easy game to ease me way back in. We played a 3-5-2 and I was left at a 3. And there was a winger, a little lad, 22 years of age. And I think 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to catch him. So it was just like trying to get positional sense, so I didn't get too tight, so he'd spin me and roll. But look, it was brilliant to be back on. And in fairness to Fairview, their manager came over to me after the game, said, look, I've followed your story, congratulations, great to see. So it was a class act from them, and from my club Airfield as well. The amount of goodwill messages and gestures I got from people last night on social media, text messages, it's just brilliant. Like, the support behind me has been absolutely fantastic, and I can't thank people enough, you know.
Yeah, great stuff. And I actually WhatsApp Brendan myself around 10:30 last night, and he took the WhatsApp and arranged to have an early call in Manchester Airport this morning, which is great. And lastly, Brendan, I know you want to mention, when you spoke to us in July, about what you want to say to men listening about what happened to you and what can happen to others, and what's very important for men to do to check themselves and to make sure if they've any doubts at all that they go and get things looked at as you did.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, as I mentioned in our previous interview, I've never been to a doctor a day in my life. I've never been to a doctor since I got basically a needle in my bum when I was 4 years old. And I never thought anything like this would come on my doorstep. Hasn't affected any of my family or close friends. And then all of a sudden, this is thrown upon me, and I'm just like, how is this happening to me? So, like I said, I stressed a million times, make the check, please. Chemo isn't fun. It was a nightmare to go through. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. And it's simple, just have a feel around, have a check. If there's any uncertainties at all, please, please, please go to your doctor, go to your GP, and just get it checked out. Do not leave something like this to chance, because as I've said so many times before, chemotherapy isn't fun, and it's not something I'd like to see anyone go through, especially with family and friends around them. So please, please make the check. I can't stress enough, you know, Dan.
Yeah, and loads more on this story as well. Our full interview with myself and Brendan from July, which at the time, Brendan was very sick. And, you know, there are parts of the interview talking about the illness, but also talking about, you know, how he found what he found, going through the treatment process and how it impacts friends and family and all that. That interview, we're going to repost it on 98fm.com right now. So go to the podcast section and you'll find it if you want to have a listen back. And, Brendan, thanks a million for your time. The best of luck for the rest of the season. Enjoy Liverpool United today and we'll speak to you soon.
Jamie, thank you very much. As always, a touch of class and I'll speak to you very soon. Thanks very much, mate.
Yeah, Brent, thanks a million. Enjoy the game later on today. Liverpool, Man United, a 4:30 kickoff at Old Trafford. And Nathan, of course, is a Manchester United fan. And Nathan, I just want to make a little friendly bet with you, if that's okay?
Sure, yeah.
And this will prove exactly what your thoughts are on today's game. Next Sunday, I bet you breakfast after the show on this match. So I'm saying Liverpool win. And if you take the bet, you're saying Man United win. If you don't take the bet, because off air, you were saying you're very worried about the match. So are you in or are you out? We'll go down the road somewhere up Stephen's Green. We'll have a nice breakfast next Sunday if you're in. But if you're not in, it's fine.
What happens if it's an extremely dull 1-0 draw, which I would probably say is most likely because United will probably just sit back. What if that happens?
We'll just go for breakfast and I'll buy my breakfast, you buy your breakfast.
Sounds good to me, Jay.
But so you're taking the bet?
I will take the ball.
So let's shake hands on it.
Thanks very much.
Great stuff. Now, next on 98, we'll turn our attention to Ireland's exit from the Rugby World Cup. Joe Schmidt, Rory Best, Josh van der Fleer, Andrew Porter, Luke McGrath and Shane Byrne will join us next on 98.
98 FMs. Now that's what I call sport.
Now, Ireland's Rugby World Cup dreams smashed to pieces by the All Blacks yesterday. It finished New Zealand 46, Ireland 14. Not the end outgoing coach Joe Schmidt and captain Rory Best wanted. A penny for the thought as well of our next coach, Andy Farrell, a trusted member of Smith's coaching staff, who will be tasked with picking up the pieces of Ireland's record 7th World Cup quarterfinal exit. Trading 22-0 at the break, things got slightly better in the second half with 2 tries, but it wasn't enough to spark a dramatic comeback. And Japan 2019, for Ireland anyway, has come to a close. The All Blacks will go on to face England in the semi-finals, an England team who beat Australia yesterday. Anyway, Shane, give us your thoughts. What type of words would you use to describe everything that happened yesterday in Ireland's game?
Look, very disappointing, to be honest with you. You know, to be slightly critical for a few minutes, I suppose, the big game players that we've had over the years just didn't stand up for us at all. The accuracy wasn't there, the kicking game was very poor. The defence was aggressive to a degree, but not effective. You know, there were so many things just weren't right. And this is the issue, I suppose, that's very disappointing for the players, for the people who are stepping down from the green jersey, both management and playing. But, you know, it just wasn't good enough yesterday at all. So many of the problems that we had were self-inflicted. Basic errors, silly decisions, wrong execution of game plans. You know, just a very, very disappointing day at the office. And again, you've got to say it doesn't take away from what New Zealand have done. They are absolutely hitting incredible form right at the right time. We were up against a superb, very, very clinical side yesterday who took their opportunities brilliantly. But it is, and it, you know, it, real feeling of the end of an era of the Joe Schmidt way it's been. But it is something that we have to think about, the way we look at our cycles in rugby. You know, not alone did we peak in 2018. We were the world's best team. We couldn't be beaten. And we were just such an effective side in 2018. And the way Irish rugby is taught is that everything is about the Six Nations. But maybe that needs to turn now. And we really do have to start planning for World Cups.
Yeah, and the atmosphere yesterday as well. You know, Ireland's called the emotion on Rory Best's face.
Yeah,
the famous haka being drowned out by the fields of Athenry as well. Have you ever seen, you know, a previous 5 minutes just before a game, Shane, like that? It was just unbelievable to watch, really.
Listen, we all know the fans are fantastic. And that was, you know, a lot of teams debate how to react to the haka and what way to do it. It really is a huge mental boost for the players doing the haka. But it couldn't have been any more perfect. The Irish supporters' reaction to the haka was fantastic. Singing out the fields of Athenry, drowning it out completely. And it was noticeable massively on the telly the way it was done. Really did set up the game fantastically, but unfortunately, the team weren't up for it, and that's the sad point, is that this set of players have given us so many fantastic days, so many records, so many first-offs, you know, through the years that they've been together, but unfortunately, this was a bad day, and it can't be, you know, unfortunately, buttered any other way.
Let's check in now with the Ireland camp, the coach Joe Schmidt, who spoke to Irish Rugby TV.
Well, Joe Schmidt, Irish coach, I know, disappointing end for you. I mean, to give the All Blacks a 22-point head start, you just can't do that, can you?
No, and it wasn't just the 22 points, it was all the ball we gave them. I think we missed touch on penalties for us to get good field position three times, and it just meant that that we were chasing our tail, and they had so much ball in our 22 and our half in that first half that it was very, very tough going.
And I suppose when you do drop those balls, it's hard to get your attacking game into effect, isn't it?
Yeah, we had a few chances in that first half. I think, you know, one of the tries, the third try that the All Blacks scored, we had a really good gap on the inside. We just didn't quite play it. We just didn't quite have a feel. We've been a little bit flat all season, you know, which is disappointing. Maybe we were great last year and we just maybe come off the top of that and haven't quite been where we wanted to be all year.
I suppose you would have heard Rory's words, being a legend, what he's done for Irish rugby. He mentioned you, I mean, 6 years, three Six Nations, the first time ever beating your Blacks at home. Once again, coach, I'll let you have the last word.
Look, I'd just like to thank my players, and I'd like to thank these supporters. These supporters that they've followed us all over the place. Rory's led the team incredibly well, and Paul O'Connell before him, and it's been a privilege for me.
Shane, let's talk first about Joe Schmidt and the legacy that he will leave, and, you know, some interesting footage yesterday of him sitting in the coach's box beside Andy Farrell pondering, you know, what was going on, and then the lovely moment of him actually walking down the steps just before the final whistle, shaking hands with the Irish fans. That was a nice moment on a difficult day, and, you know, an awful way to end his tenure. But he is also remaining in Ireland, which we spoke about recently, and maybe he will have a role to play in Irish rugby moving forward. But the day after what happened yesterday, how do you think his legacy will be remembered with Six Nations and you know, other amazing feats in previous years?
Yeah, look, I suppose in hindsight, it'll be fantastic that, you know, the record that we had over the last few seasons, you know, the couple of Grand Slams, championship wins, you know, firsts against New Zealand, you know, away tour wins in Australia, wins in South Africa. You know, all of these things were amazing achievements. But unfortunately, yes, there is no doubt about it. It will be shadowed by this. You know, the World Cups have been disappointing for him, for different reasons, and this one will be remembered. You know, unfortunately 2018 wasn't a great year. We shipped record losses, you know, to England, and World Cup losses yesterday, and these are things that, you know, unfortunately do stick. But we have to rebuild. You know, we've a Six Nations around the corner, be with us a lot sooner than people expect, and, you know, that's something that rugby just has to be thinking along the lines of what we want to do. Is it really a World Cup cycle we want, or is it just success in the Six Nations? We've got to be thinking forward now about what the priorities are, because, you know, this thing of the quarterfinals in World Cups has to finish at some point.
Yeah, and the person that is thinking forward now is Andy Farrell, who is effectively the Ireland coach from today, because Ireland are knocked out of the World Cup, and he was, you know, right-hand man to Joe Schmidt and sitting beside him in the coach's box yesterday, I'm sure having similar thoughts to Joe, but knowing that he's the man now that has to take over, that has to pick the players up, that has to make decisions maybe on players who won't play for Ireland again and players who maybe will be in the squad for the first time for the new campaign. So interesting to hear the internal thoughts of Andy Farrell and the job that faces him ahead.
There's no doubt about it that, you know, it'll be time to stock up for a while, but yeah, there'll be a few players. It'll naturally happen anyway that there'll be a few players who just won't wear the green again. But, you know, Andy will have to put his mark on it as well. He can't just continue with the same old, same old. Joe reverted to type, you know, for this game, went back to his tried and trusted players, you know, and sound logic behind that as well, in fairness. But you can see, I would say, Andy moving on a bit from that. He's, I suppose, a very direct man, probably a bit more abrupt than Joe is. Like, I know Joe, we all had him as the, you know, guys were very, very scared of him, which is a good way to have it, in the nicest kind of way. But, yeah, it's a big task ahead of him. It's been rebuilt. We were the best team in the world, you could debate, for two seasons, 2017, but definitely 2018. But that made us the most analysed team in the world as well. And unfortunately, it just looked like that teams figured us out, and we just didn't move on, and we just didn't add to our attacking abilities. And that just was where we stopped. And that's when in the Six Nations in 2018, that's where it started, 2019, that's where it started. And unfortunately, that's where it stayed.
Yeah, Ireland players Josh van der Fleer, Andrew Porter and Luke McGrath have been trying to make sense of what happened yesterday. Chatting to Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan.
The common theme here today seems to be that it was a fantastic week of preparation. Do you have any idea why the performance underwhelmed today, or why there was another performance? Can you put your finger on it just yet?
I don't know. I guess it was key moments or these games. I know the scoreline doesn't seem like it, but they're the tightest margins, and I think we didn't put a lot of pressure. They had a lot of the ball. We didn't hold on to the ball very well, and we gave away a few too many penalties, which has been kind of what we've normally been quite good at. So I suppose it's those key moments, and then once you're behind in a game, you start chasing. You're probably trying to run the ball a bit more, and they're putting a lot of pressure on, and they have a bit of wind behind them then. So it was disappointing.
Yeah, like you say, it's fine margins, and it certainly was at points in the first half. The scoreboard would suggest that it's bigger margins, but you say it's probably not. The scoreboard probably doesn't reflect the gap between the teams, or what do you think about that?
I suppose you can't take away from New Zealand. They're brilliant, and you give them opportunities to score and they'll score. So we're disappointed. We feel we're a better team than that scoreline anyway, obviously, but we suppose we let them into the game, and then once you're chasing, you're trying to force things, and then they just capitalise on that. So
what are the emotions after that, Luke?
It's fairly disappointing. There's a lot of kind of uncharacteristic mistakes out there from us, and you just can't give ball cheaply away to the All Blacks. They'll punish you, and to be fair to them, they did. Every opportunity we gave them, they ended up scoring, and bitterly disappointed for everyone in there. It's a very quiet change room, as you can imagine, and it's a tough for Bestie and Joe as well.
Was there ever any sense this week during the preparation that performance might be below the level you expected?
The preparation was good all week. We were confident going in. We knew they would be up for it as well, as they were, but I think we the tries they got, they didn't have to work very hard. They were kind of off our little mistakes, which is uncharacteristic of us, but it's kind of hard to because I was warming up, it's kind of hard to I'll have to look back in the game and see where we went wrong, but they're a class outfit, and any mistake you make, they're going to pounce on it, and they did.
It's very, very hard at this kind of juncture to actually kind of put your finger on it, I'd imagine, but Joe was kind of saying that perhaps there was a slip off from last year, and it's just a bit uncontrollable. Like, is there anything that you've managed to figure out in terms of why that slip happened from last year?
No, it's a hard one to put your finger on. We trained well all the week, but it's a very difficult to put your finger on. I suppose it's kind of, where do we go from here? We're going to have to look at that, our performances in the World Cup, and try and look to improve, because everyone goes back to their clubs now. We disperse, and we're going to have to fly into a big upcoming Six Nations now.
Andrew Porter, hard luck. What are the emotions at the moment?
That's pretty quiet dressing room at the moment, but sure, what can you do after that, really? It's like 4 months of preparation, and then you kind of end up coming up short in the quarterfinals, I think. But obviously it's a bit kind of disheartening, a small bit, but we'll pick ourselves up.
Like, it has been 4 months of preparation, as you say, but it's also been kind of 4 years of this kind of looming over Irish rugby, the potential of going out of the World Cup quarterfinal again. Did we overthink things, I wonder, in terms of getting too wound up about going out of the World Cup quarterfinal stage?
No, we weren't thinking that at all. I kind of try to switch off from a lot of the media, what's on social media and stuff, so we're kind of in such a bubble that kind of we're just kind of focused on what we can do. So obviously things didn't go our way today. We made a few mistakes, and I don't think that's really reflective of what we're about, really. So and obviously we can't give a team like New Zealand those mistakes, because they just they take advantage of them, and kind of score got away from us after a while. And it was a tough day.
When did you realise that perhaps 2019 wasn't going to be as successful a year as 2018? Did you notice at all that the performance level slip or anything like that?
Not really. You have some a hiccup every now and again, like Japan, like in the pool stages, but we were able to pick ourselves up the week after, and then the week after that, and all we were looking to do was bring our best performance into this week. But like I said, a few mistakes here and there has kind of cost us. So
yeah, the voices of Ireland players Josh van der Fleer, Luke McGrath and Andrew Porter speaking to Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. Shane, finally, Rory Best, the captain, subbed in the 62nd minute. Proper raw emotion of him coming off. His 124th cap, his debut back in 2005. A full professional career with Ulster spanning a similar timeline too. We're going to hear from Rory in a moment to finish the show this morning. But just for yourself, what type of things would you think of when we think of Rory Best, Ireland player and Ireland captain for the last 14, 15 years?
Yeah, again, a player central to everything that was good about Irish rugby for a long, long time. A massive worker, not the flashiest of players, just one of the guys who got through his work and then built the captaincy role around him. Then he led by example and said the right things at the right times to the players and just became very, very important to everything that was going Ireland's way for such a long time. An awful pity that it ends the way it has ended. But listen, he'll go down as one of the best that we've had, no doubt.
Shane, thanks a million. Speak to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, we're finishing on That's What I Call Sport this Sunday with the voice of the former, now former Ireland captain, Rory Best. He's been summing up his emotions to Irish Rugby TV.
Look, aside from the batters and bruised and mentally tortured, look, I think it's going to take a few days to get over that. I think that's not what we prepared for. It's not what we expected to deliver. And we're obviously absolutely gutted by the result and the performance and the fact that we wanted. We had another little bit of history to create as a squad before we dispersed. And we didn't quite manage to do that. But like, I think in a couple of days, I'll be able to look back and reflect and be very proud of this group of men and coaching staff and a backup staff and everything that over the last certainly 6.5 years with Joe, but certainly the last almost 4 years since I've been lucky enough to captain this team, and we've achieved some unbelievable feats, and it's hard to see those now obviously in the wake of that, but we will in time, and I'll be very grateful for the support that I've been given by so many people.
There'll be criticisms and you know, reports and investigations and all that kind of thing, but there's a huge amount of positivity between this team and their fans, and it was evident again in the stadium today.
Yeah, look, there's always criticisms, and you know, we'll let people do reports, whatever. Thankfully now it doesn't really affect me and what I'm going to do going forward, but look, I think this team has probably flourished so much over the last few years because of how close we are to the fans and how much we appreciate everything they do for us. You know, even tonight, you know, I know there was a mass people trying to swap tickets because we didn't quite fire against Japan the way we'd like to, and people expected us to, and we expected ourselves to, and you know, the way people managed to get to the game and the start of the game, actually the whole way through the game, felt like a home game. And credit to the fans, you know, even when we were, remember, 22-0 down, and there was a massive chorus of the Fields of Athenry, and it's those moments that you'll never forget. I think the bits that happened between the 0-80 minutes, they'll be a bit of a flash, and you'll remember bits of it, but you'll remember those atmosphere, you know, when we're standing facing the Haka tonight, and the crowd was electric, the Ireland's call, you know, all of those little things are things that are in the memory now, and while they're not jumping to the forefront because of you know, we didn't get what we wanted out of the game, that's the stuff that you'll be able to tell your kids and your grandkids and your friends and your family, and that's the stuff that you'll be immensely proud of whenever you get a little bit of time to reflect on it.
Rory, on behalf of everyone in Ireland and every kid who's pulled on a jersey and dreamed of playing in green, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thank you, Aaron. Like, I'd like to just finish by just thanking absolutely everyone that's helped me along the way. It's been an incredible journey. I suppose it's in a way it's fitting that I started with a substantial loss to the All Blacks, and that's the way it's finished, but everything in between I've enjoyed so much, and you can't put into words the support you get along the way, because it's incredible, and it makes you so proud to be Irish and a part of this special legacy that is Irish rugby.
As always, so well summed up by the Ireland captain Rory Best speaking to Irish Rugby TV. The other quarterfinal ongoing at the moment, Wales 13, France 19 into the final 8 minutes there. And the other quarterfinal, 11:15 kickoff, Japan against South Africa. That's it for another week on the That's What I Call Sport. Thank you so much for listening and to all of our guests. More in the podcast section of 98FM.com. Nathan Whelan, as always, for his Trojan work behind the scenes. Have a great Sunday, folks. See you later. Bye bye.
98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks. Bye bye.